Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast, where we help natural health practitioners and wellness experts build profitable, predictable, and enjoyable practices. Each week, we share simple, effective, easily actionable, and proven heart-centered marketing strategies. And now your hosts, Dr. Angus Pike and Dr. Tony Rose.
Oh, there we go. Well, welcome to the Marketing Your Practice show with Angus and Tony from Patio Media. Here at the desk today on this fine Thursday, wintry Thursday in Melbourne, and wherever you're coming in from, we love and appreciate you. So give us some thumbs up and love hearts.
Yeah, so great to see all you guys here, whether you're listening to us on the podcast. Did I tell you, and I often say here, if you listen to someone walking the dog, that I got an email from someone the other day, and she said, I listen to you walking the dog. Made my day. live here or whichever of as we talk about the social pipelines, then a big warm welcome. As you jump on the show, please hop in the chat, say hi, let us know from where you're from, what's going on for you as well. And today, big catchy title for our show, How to Have It All in Life as well. So Kat, hello, Kat Sunny Noosa. Kat, I'm on my way up to Noosa in a little over 2 weeks. I'm getting married there.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty damn excited about that as well.
It's very exciting.
So today we're talking about how to have it all in life and in practice. And this conversation that we're going to talk about today started with Tony and I a little bit over 4 months ago. When we talked about, we had that discussion, we were sitting there, what does it take to really thrive? We threw around lots of words as well. And in particular, we all have aspects of our life that we're doing great. We all have people who are doing great in aspects of their lives. But trying to find how can we have it across all domains? How can we have thriving relationships, great health, our finances be good, our practice be wonderful, our family life be great? You know, it's a lofty goal, and I know you're kind of doing lots of great stuff with regards to that at the moment, but really that should be our goal where we're heading towards as well. So
yeah, I think there's a lot of and it's easy just to kind of always be thinking about this, but what are some of the strategies as well that we can put in place that actually enable us to look at our life, you know, in that holistic nature? You know, we like to think that we're holistic in our prescription with our patients as to what they need to do to get healthy and well. Yet sometimes we're not so good on our own lives to think that we can just be awesome chiropractors and then everything else will take care of itself. And I well know that that does not happen. I've been an awesome chiropractor for 20 years and my marriage broke down. And so we can dig some holes if we're not looking at things in that really balanced way. So that's what the Thrive Summit was for, and it was all about having people having a thriving practice and a thriving life. So if that's for you, give us a love heart and a thumbs up. Let's dig in.
Do you know, interesting, one last point here before we get into this too. I was listening to a podcast recently, and it's rare that I hear somebody call out, because we'll all have mentors that we'll look for, and he was talking about Steve Jobs, and so many of us talk about the Steve Jobs effect, all this kind of stuff there too. This guy called out, he said, from all reports, Steve certainly was a brilliant businessman, but apparently not very nice everywhere else. And you read his book, which I have, and stuff like that too. He certainly isn't a role model for me as far as a father goes. His relationships with people were, from all accounts, horrible as well. So funny that we put these people up on a pedestal. Yes, and yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, talk about not rounded. Clearly there was something not going right.
Yeah. Yeah, so interesting for us to kind of think about. So today's going to be our shot at investigating what does it take to have it across. And again, you know, I want to certainly say this on my behalf too. It's a journey of constant balance there too, but one that both you and I talk about often. How do we become well-rounded human beings? Or in our case, certainly as men, where we're doing all that kind of stuff as well. So good work, gang. Let's get ourselves started.
Let's dig in. So we broke it down into four days. So the first pillar was all about purpose, was saying, you know, we look at, you know, certainly from Angus and I, you know, we look at these people that we do think are mentors, and then they just have this, you know, this intangible sense that they're on purpose. You know, and we all know someone, whether they're a singer, an actor, a chiropractor, a mother, or whatever, whoever and whatever they're doing. But if you've got some sort of purpose about it, it's just something magnetic. There's something that says, I want to be around you and I want to learn and just ooze some of that from you. You know, someone who's on fire, people will travel miles to watch them burn. So this sense of purpose, I wanted to kind of get to know a bit more, and I wanted to find out, are there any some secrets that we can get or some insights about what does it take to live a life that's on purpose? And, you know, one of the things I think that really stood out, because for me over the years, it's always seemed a little bit unattainable, a little bit, it's a bit always out there. You know, it has to be some fantastic essay that you have to come to and to have this altruistic kind of idea of what your purpose is. And it was, so do you want to?
No, well, I get that too. And I think that's an important point, because it's been a hurdle for me, because so many of the books that I end up reading and the people that I admire have these purposes around saving the world. And if I go for some kind of save the world purpose, I got to admit, it's a little lofty for me to jump at. You know, and I struggle. I mean, I sent an email out to our list the other day and talked about some of my personal struggles with trying to find this reason for being that would get me up out of bed in the morning, have me stay up late at night, have me walk over hot coals. And I would find things, but there was often when I went this, you know, save the world type sort of thing, there was a lack of authenticity there for me. There might be for others, you know, they might be able to hold on to that, but how could I bring it back a bit kind of closer and stuff like that too?
Yeah, so we interviewed, you know, four people on this pillar. Liz Anderson Peacock, the wonderful Karen Smith. We also interviewed Steve Krebs, which was wonderful.
Some pretty extraordinary stories. I mean,
amongst those,
give people a thumbnail of Karen's story if you haven't heard of Karen Smith.
If you don't know Karen's story, unbelievable. Look, we'll tell you how to register for this program. You'll want to hear it, because she does go through it chronologically as to what happened with her husband, committed suicide. She went over to Bali, was really depressed and in a really low state, trying to deal with or not deal with her husband.
What was her intent going to Bali too?
Her intent going to Bali was that this is going to be her final song, because the only way out she could see was that she would end her life. So she's going to Bali with a couple of girlfriends. It was going to be her swan song. And she happened to be in the Sari Club on the night of the Bali bombing. And her two friends were blown, I think, forward, where there was other gas tanks that exploded. They died. She got blown backwards by some amazing miracle. You know, she came to and woke up and her head was crushed in, and, you know, survived months, years to get through that. And then,
so think about the guilt there for a moment, that you go over there with two girlfriends with your intent is to end your life. In that situation, they die and you don't. And the conflict that this brought up in her, if things weren't difficult enough as it is, and it is extraordinary.
So amazing. And like, when you watch the video, when you watch the interview, most of the time when I'm interviewing and I'm doing video and stuff, I'm up. You know, I'm excited. But this one was really, it was really humbling. You know, she has a beautiful way of expressing it. And what she's then done is now taken that, those tragedies, you know, and really turn them into fuel to light her fire and light her life on fire and now live a life of purpose. And what she also did was she took me through, and therefore you when you watch it, a process of being able to reframe these identity, these significant events that have happened in our life and what we've then attached to that as to who we are being. And a really, really simple yet very powerful exercise that she goes through to detach from those. So that's a cool one. And that wasn't actually what I was going to be talking about on purpose, but that worked out beautifully.
I think one of the more extraordinary things about the human experience is that, you know, for all of us that are here together watching this now or listening to it, you know, we've all had things that have happened to us that have been difficult. Some of those things have been more difficult than others there too. But we have this ability to rewrite the past at any stage, for us to reframe things that they could be a stamp in time that says, I'll never get over that. Or that could be, as you talked about before, that could be fuel for which creates change and moves me into a new kind of stratosphere as well. And Karen talks about some good strategies of how to be able to do that also as well. But I know one of the people with regards to purpose who had a big impact on you was a guy who a couple of years ago had a big impact on me. It was Coach Steve.
We were lucky enough. I'm going to change that skin. We were lucky enough to have Coach Steve come on the program. Big mentor of Angus's, massive impact. And what I loved about the interview with Steve was it came from a very masculine point of view, which was a very different to Karen's, like totally different energy. And it was really cool. So hopefully, there's something for everyone in this program. And Steve, rather than being this lofty kind of unattainable concept of purpose, he really broke it down into something that was so simple, was so tangible. And what he thinks, purpose comes down to, three simple steps. What do you want? Why do you want it? And what could possibly get in the way of you getting it? And it just went, wow, it's a pretty simple model. What do you want? Well, do you want health for the whole world and humanity? Do you want a thriving life for you and your children? Do you want, I guess that's what it comes down to is, what do you want? Why do you want it? And then what could get in the way of it? It was just really simple. And had a big effect. So it made me take some action steps.
Have you seen any of the ads that are on the television at the moment for NAB, the bank?
No.
And they're saying, they've got this theme about, you should talk to yourself more often. So if they start off with all these kids, sort of toddler up to sort of maybe 10 years of age, and they're saying to them, what do you want? And they're saying, I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and all those kind of stuff there too. And then they cut over to a bunch of adults, and they're saying to them, what do you want in life? And they sit there, they can't answer it.
Right.
And that is my experience too, is that for most people, if you say to them, what do you want? One of two things either happens, and see if this sounds maybe familiar to you, is that one, I can't articulate, I don't know what I want, or two, what happens more often is that you can tell me all the things that you don't want. Now, whilst it's great to know what you don't want, if our dream life or our life of thriving is a dartboard, and there's a bullseye in the middle there too, our chance of hitting that bullseye goes up immeasurably when we actually, decide what that bullseye is. Your chance of hitting the target, if we don't set a target, is zero. And so one of the things that I find is helpful for me too is that if you say, listen, this is what I want in my life, it's totally okay for that to change. I think as things have gone through practice for me, I've gone, I want this practice, and I get there and I try it on, and then I go, this is really good. Now I'll make it like this. I never said, hey, I want to see a gazillion people away, because let me start with seeing half a gazillion or maybe a quarter of a gazillion, because maybe I might get to that number there and go, that's enough for me. So choosing something with regards to, because purpose, what do I want, why do I want those kind of things there too. It doesn't, one, my thoughts, doesn't have to be grandiose for you as well. But just choose something, like sit down and, as I mentioned earlier, I was talking to Kat before that, I have a wedding coming up in 3 weeks' time. And I was just thinking just this morning, the number of hours that Lauren and I have put into, and along with you, because you've been involved in too, planning that wedding. I've spent more time planning that wedding the last 12 months than I have my life. Like sitting down, I took that weekend away a little while ago because I realised that I need to. So, and we do this, whether it's a birthday party, these kind of things there, but my suggestion would be, sometime over this next whenever, take yourself somewhere special, whether it's a coffee shop, down the beach, in your car, what's your favourite beverage, and sit down and ask yourself that question, what do I want? Why do I want it? And then again, what things are going to get in the way of doing it? It's a powerful process.
Very powerful. And then and again, it's as, like with all this stuff, it's as powerful as you make it, isn't it? If you don't take yourself away and you do it rushed in the car on a scrap bit of paper, well, maybe it's not going to be too impactful. But if you take the time, it can be huge. It sounds very simple, but, man, it can be profound.
Yeah. So a couple of big things from purpose. So day one, today we're talking all about the Thrive Summit. It's a program we've just finished putting together. You can actually register for that. The actual live showing of that is July 26th to 29th. And you can register for that at adiomedia.com/thrive. So adiomedia.com/thrive. You can register. As we do, you've seen our summits beforehand. We put them on for a weekend for you guys to watch them for free. And if you want to get them now and have them forever, then there's an option for you to buy all the recordings and stuff like that as well. So as I mentioned beforehand, I think this is some of our best work. Well, you did the interviews. Maybe that's why it is so good. It kept me out of it. But there's some great there too. Tony's packaged it together really beautifully. So day one is all about purpose for great experts. Day two, we go into profitability.
Profitability.
The money talk.
Yeah, and it's often a non-speak issue. You know, we don't get any, well, certainly from our experience, no training when you become a chiropractor in profitability, business management, that sort of stuff. We really do fly solo unless we do some extra training. So we got together some experts in this field and chewed their brain. What does it take to run a profitable practice? Is it okay to run a profitable practice? What are some of the action steps we need to be taking? What are some of the mindsets we need to be adopting? Mm-hmm. Who do we need to become? All these things. And one of the common themes that came out of this summit over the 4 days, but certainly within profitability, was who are you being and who are you at your core identity will determine how profitable you are, mm-hmm. or how wealthy you are. And we had the pleasure and the privilege of having Jim Fortin on the summit, and you'll love Jim. He coaches people in sales and money and profitability worldwide, and he is awesome at taking, again, these big concepts and stewing them down into some actionable things to do.
Thing I like about Jim, and that was one of the interviews, only two of that I was involved in, is that you can sometimes get these hardcore sales money people where it's just all, yeah, I don't know, it's icky. Like it's that kind of stuff there too. And then you kind of get this mix of Jim, and I've worked quite a bit with Jim over the last few months there too, who's just this heart-centered guy, a really strong, you know, for lack of a better term, spiritual type sort of character. But at the same time too, the dude is just a money magnet. Mm-hmm. Like it just, and he's got some really strong foundational beliefs around it. Now, without trying to get woo-woo here, because sometimes we simplify, you know, profitability is about, you know, how much income comes in there and then how much goes out, or it's just about trying to make more money. It's not that. And again, I an email out talking about this too. Every week we hear of celebrities and or athletes that earn billions, like literally, the example I gave in the email yesterday was Michael Jackson earned more than $1 billion in his time, but died bankrupt. Mm-hmm. So it's not, if you're thinking that I'm going to solve this problem purely by just earning more money, that's not the solution. It's part of it, and we want you to be wildly profitable, and you deserve to have enormous amounts of cash coming into you as well. But you need to get your psychology around money really clean and really clear. And when you do that alone and get really clear, it's quite amazing where money can come from and how it does. And, I've had experiences with it. I've worked very hard this year in particular to clean that up further again. It's been profound for me. And Jim, I think, does a great job about that too. Do you want to do your best at explaining where money comes from? Kind of, Jim's, we need to take money out of
the two boxes?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting, and you'll see on the interview that clearly I didn't really get this during the interview, and it wasn't until afterwards on reflection that I really got the insight and the aha. You know, Jim explains that most people put profitability, they put, if you got one box over here, money, so income and work in the same box. And what Jim does is he explains why we need to have two boxes. We can have income in one and work in another, totally separate from each other. And it's a concept that I, like at the time I heard him, but I didn't really get that concept. Mm. Whereas now I think I've got a much better understanding of where he was coming from with that. As far as who are we being? Do we feel wealthy? Are we projecting wealth? Irrespective of what we do for work, Are we feeling, and he did make a big point of that, wasn't it? It was all about feeling.
Yeah, some of those things are too, is that, you know, we feel that, okay, I'm a chiropractor, and that therefore I get paid for my work here for the care that I give, you know, the patients in the practice. And whilst that happened, what Jim was saying is don't just leave it to that, because you need to be open, because the money will come from other areas. You'll buy a property and that will raise in value there too. So looking at it from just because trying to get this exchange, like I gave this to Tony and he didn't give it back to me. In fact, it's one of the things that's important. And we spend a lot of time talking about community outreach and marketing and this idea that we're going to, if you just help enough other people get what they want in life, you'll get everything that you want in life too. And I think it's another way of looking at that same thing, that sometimes the to and fro isn't exactly the same. We need to be open to it. You know, our good friend Sean Dill, something he really taught me too is that, you know, I'd often walk over a 20-cent piece on the ground and not pick it up because I don't need 20 cents. Whereas now I'm like, yeah, thank you. That's the universe just giving me money. And it's been quite amazing. There have been areas in my life, you know, I had a significant lump of cash come my way earlier on, 2 or 3 months ago, that I could never have ever predicted. If you had have said to me, I'm talking a serious whack of cash too, that if you said, where is this amount going to come from? This would not have been what I would have predicted. But it's out there, serve the community, do the right kind of thing, keep on taking action. I'm not one of these people that sits back and wants to meditate in my chair and say, money come to me, money come to me, money come to me. But focused on it's... I forgot to flip the book to you, but dollars flow easy to me. So if you want a simple little 3 or 4 hour read, dollars flow easy to me. I think that's what it's called, one that Jim kind of put me onto as well. But his stuff too. And what about Don's thoughts on... I thought that was interesting. You just mentioned that to me before as well.
Yeah, so we interviewed Don McDonald, many will know, from Canada. Don had some really cool little things to say, but one thing that really hit me was, you know, his point was that of your expenses, we have rent, we have wages, we have, you know, all these expenses coming out, but your biggest expense should be your savings. And he said, geez, I'm expensive. You know, like every month, his savings bill is the most, it's the biggest bill that he pays.
Yep.
Bigger than his rent, bigger than his wages, bigger than electricity, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, what a great concept. And he beautifully frames it that he was taught by John DeMartini. You know, John DeMartini was asked, how do I increase the value that I hold in my adjustments? How do I raise my level of the value that I place on the care that I give? And, you know, expecting a sort of procedural or a practice-based answer, John's answer was save. Have a lot of savings. And when you no longer need the money, your perception and the value that you hold on your care will be greater. And Don just talks through how true that is for him and now that savings are his biggest expense.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Interesting. I mean, I remember the first guy who I worked for, Ray, telling a story of a guy who he used to work for that... you know, one day a guy questioned him.
I told the story in the summit.
Oh, did you?
I told
about the Rolls Royces?
Yes.
You know, he had a patient say, oh, you just want my money, doc. And I think at the time he had 5 or 6 Rolls Royces and he poked his head out the window and he says, see that Rolls Royce out there? That's mine. It's paid for. And I've got 5 others. I don't need your $40 for the adjustment. Thanks very much. Something like that.
I sort of licensed and paraphrased that there were 3 in the car park. And he said, yeah, they're my cars. I don't need your money.
Yeah.
And but it was a great concept of that, you know, the more needy we are, we tend to then, you know, roll out the red carpet, we reduce our fees, we say, oh, don't come twice a week, just come once. You know, we cut the value, the perceived value down, whereas if we come from a place of power, knowing that all we're doing here is just being a servant, you know, and again, Dave Jackson, again, on profitability, he says, you know, man, I'm a servant, give me money. I'm here to serve. Give me money. Give me all the money so that I can help lots of dudes.
Yeah.
And that frame as
so
well.
So there's lots about that psychology of money there too, and it has to be explored. You know, things around, you know, is money the root of all evil? Is money hard to come by? Is money hard? Like, you know, when you think about it, what are your thoughts with regards to it? And I'm in a stage of constantly having to clean these things up. You know, Lauren, my soon-to-be gorgeous wife, you know, I was having a haircut the other day. She went in a little shop and looked around and came out. And the first thing she said, oh, it's full of amazing jumpers, but they're also expensive. And we talked about afters, you know, because that says to the world, you know what, I can't afford these great things, as opposed to just saying, you know, how was that shop? It was amazing. It was full of beautiful jumpers. That's it.
Yep.
You know, so that's, you know, that second thing, which is just a reinforcement of my value, all those kind of things there too, because, you know, our inner belief systems are what drive us. And if you don't believe me that that's what happens, you want to think about things. For those of you that are non-smokers, how hard is it for you today not to smoke? Like it's, because you know that you're a non-smoker. You know, so these belief systems drive our habits, drive our actions. You know, so if we don't have belief systems set up around psychology, around money too, it can do the same thing. So day two of the Thrive Summit is all about profitability too. So if you're joining us now, huge welcome to the Marketing Your Practice show. We're talking about the Thrive Summit, top learnings that Tony has had as well. We broke the Thrive Summit down into four pillars of a thriving life and practice. Day number one is all about purpose. Day number two is all about productivity. Day number three, no.
Profitability, day two.
And day number three was productivity.
Productivity.
So getting stuff done.
Getting stuff done, because here's the concept. You're going to have this great purpose. We're going to have a profitable practice with great systems and procedures. We need to be able to get some stuff done. And so productivity is a big one. So we thought, let's get some people around productivity, who gets things done, and really interesting kind of conversation with Mike Vardy from The Productivityist, which was just awesome. Now, for some people who like real strategy on breaking your day down, your week down, and theming and all this sort of stuff, you are going to love the interview with Mike Vardy on day three. What I wanted to talk about this one was that really interestingly that if we're going to get stuff done, and Troy Dukowitz, love the man, big shout out to Troy.
You're just a little bit of a man crush going.
I've got a man crush on Troy for numerous reasons, but he's someone that gets stuff done. He has such a big heart. He's doing it from the right place. He has a beautiful family. There's just so many things about Troy that I really admire. But his piece on what he does in the first hour of his day really got me. It really was, because he thinks, if we're going to get a lot of stuff done and have this amazing practice and amazing life, we've got to start from a position of power.
Yeah.
Come from a place of power, of being the best Tony Rose that I possibly can be, to then be the best dad, the best chiropractor, the best partner, the best friend, the best whatever. But I first need to start my day being the best me. And he really takes us through this strategy of how he starts his day.
How he powers up.
How he powers up. And so therefore, shoots through the day. Whereas a lot of people, I think we start the day in this almost stupor and then kind of warm up over the morning, get to the lunchtime, and then it's just downhill from there, versus Troy's concept. And just, he really does explain it well. And he goes into the nitty gritty. Like he really takes us through.
Gets
into some tactics. What he does, how he does it, and why he does it.
It reminds me of that one of my favourite books, The Power of Full Engagement, which is a productivity book to some extent. And it says it's not about time management, it's about energy management as well. Because when our energy is high, stuff just happens. You know, we find solutions faster, we get things done, and half the time we almost transcend this time matrix type sort of thing, you know. So that managing your energy, so yes, don't check email, yes, these kind of things there too, but if you're not powered up, I think one of the biggest currencies of a thriving life is power, is energy. And there are things that we can do. One of the experiences, because, you know, when we talk about some of the stuff with Coach Steve, I remember this. When I did their program 20 months or so ago, which was a great reminder of where kind of power comes from, we'd had an enormous day beforehand and had been, this was at a program called Wake Up Warrior, where we had been physically and emotionally put through the ringer. Long day, emotionally very stressful, physically very stressful. Went to bed, had about 3 hours sleep before they woke us up at some ungodly hour again there too. And then we're up hiking the mountains at the back of kind of wherever we were. And it was interesting just how abundantly energetic I was. And I realized at that moment that the amount of sleep that I have, and these are just stories that we tell ourselves, I didn't sleep much last night, therefore I'm going to be tired tomorrow. We tell ourselves these well, I have told myself these stories. I don't know what you do, but I've told myself, oh, I was late to bed last night. I bet I'm going to be tired tomorrow. And I experienced firsthand there how I was abundantly energetic after a mass, and I was able to do that day after day after day. So, so much of our power and our energy, again, is psychology, is headspace, is doing the things that fire us up, as opposed to, and the duck's got some great suggestions with regards to that as well. And then you also get some pretty kind of hardcore strategies again from Dobbo as well,
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Mark Dobson, absolutely. Massive stuff, you know, really cool about how we're spending our time in are we spending our time in stimulus, constantly being stimulated, you know? And he takes Mark takes us through a great framework on how and when and where we need to be spending our time. Really great, really great framework.
So Mark is a guy, he's a headspace coach, performance coach.
For, the man behind the talent.
Yeah, for Olympic gold medalists. You can't, you just can't get a hold of people like, it's hard. I'm lucky in that I have a personal relationship with Mark and a favour, he did this too. But the, these are people that normally, heads of business, elite level athletes. And that's where we're excited to be able to share them with you if you want to be able to pick the brains of these people on things like productivity as well. So day four was all about performance.
Performance. We need to have the energy. If we're going to pull this thriving practice, thriving life off, we need to have the energy. And what are the key ingredients to having energy? I interviewed Cindy O'Meara on nutrition. Mind-boggling. Guys, if you're not up with glyphosate, you know, Roundup in foods, watch it. You know, what are her strategies? What are the minimum things that you need to be doing to fuel your body right and not put in your body? Some things to put in your body. Awesome awesome interview with the beautiful Cindy O'Meara from Changing Habits. We also had Espen, Dr. Espen, talking about how does he pull off being a ninja warrior,
chiropractor,
practices, chiropractic coach, all those things, and he dives into what he does. Vicky Kelly on mindfulness, just a beautiful interview with Vicky. And one of the things...
What else did you have in there? It was number four.
Performance day was... who else was on performance?
Mental.
It'll come. But one, the theme that came from this, and not just in performance day, but also right through the summit, was this concept of meditation. You know, and guys, if you are sitting on the fence with meditation, jump over. You know, it just seems to be of the people that we see, and that certainly that I see, who are performing at a high, high level, no matter what they're doing, they're all meditators. Bar a very, very small proportion. So it was just really abundantly clear. And Vicky Kelly gives us some of the science behind why, how it works, being mindful, some little tricks and steps that we can take just during our normal everyday. And she also beautifully frames it as to the benefits that your practice members will get from you being mindful. And that was a beautiful thing as well. So, yeah, it was lovely.
In meditation, I mean, I'd struggled for a long time with meditation. And I think the biggest reason I struggled is I expected to be able to sit there cross-legged, levitate, and get in contact with the Almighty.
You can't do that.
No, not yet. So given that that didn't happen within the first few weeks of me meditating, I went, this meditation thing doesn't work. It, what really helped to kind of shift me was, you know, starting to understand brain states of, you know, sympathetic stress, parasympathetic stress. And I just took some of the Eastern spiritual philosophy out of it and said, look, this is what breath can do to calming down the sympathetic stress. It can get me into that parasympathetic where I have my frontal lobe working better, which means I'm going to problem solve much better. I'm going to be much more creative. So, you know, I took a lot of that stuff out of it, you know, and then and this was important. I know you found this helpful too, is the Headspace app in the early days as well. Neat little kind of app that you can get a hold of. It's free for the 10-day challenge. The challenge is 10 days or 10 minutes a day. I got started in that and haven't looked back since.
That's very good. Which feeds into the fourth person on performance day was Maria Zushman.
The
queen
stress.
So that brings it in beautifully. And she tells her beautiful story of how stress impacted her life in becoming Baymax. I don't know the movie, but there's apparently a character called Baymax. Is the movie called Big? I think it is. Anyway, she walking down the street one day with her beautiful partner, and she said to her, she said, I feel like Baymax. You know, she had a white polo shirt on. This character is like a white character. And her partner looked at her and went, no, yeah, you look fine. And then some months later, she noticed that the shirt was getting smaller, and went to her partner before again and said, "Oh, do I look like?" And there was a pause from her partner, just a little pause. Didn't say anything, but it was just a pause. And she goes, "Oh my God, I do look like Baymax." And it was this realization that stress had put layers upon layers onto her. And Maria talks about her journey through stress.
She was getting fat because she was stressed. That's what Tony's telling you. Yeah. So if you didn't see that too. And it happens to all of us if we're stressed, the relationship between stress and putting on weight. I often say to practice members, one of the best things you can do if you want to manage your weight, sleep more, manage your stress, even if you don't change other bits and pieces as well. Maria's a whiz, isn't she?
Yeah, she's branded herself now the queen of stress and runs a podcast and all sorts of stuff, so you'll love that interview as well.
Yeah. So if you haven't registered for the Thrive Summit, adiomedia.com/thrive. It'll be screening, the free screening is over the weekend of July 26th to 29th, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Thursday is our day all about purpose. Friday is all about profitability. Saturday is all about productivity. And then finally, we finish on the Sunday with performance as well. So nearly 15 hours of content there. As well, and as with all of our, if you haven't registered beforehand, you'll see after you register, if you want access to it now, then you can get a VIP upgrade there and own this content forever. But we're really happy and we're very passionate about sharing this information with you guys, giving you free access to it to get any hurdles out of the way as well. So we think what it takes to have a thriving life is purpose, a bigger meaning in your life there as well, profitability so you can fund the life. And when we look at the person that has given the most in terms of, charity is Bill Gates. I don't think there's any relationship. I don't think it's a surprise that there's a relationship between the most wealthy person in the world and then also the person that's given the most as well. So, you know, what you do with your money, when you have more of it, you can give more of it, you can serve more, you can do all those kind of great things as well. We're going to show you how to get more of the right things done, be productive as opposed to being busy. And then finally, how do you return that zest, that health, that energy, that power? We'll talk about all that during performance as well. So adiomedia.com/thrive is where you can go for all of that as well. So Tone, you're the man that had the pleasure. Any final parting thoughts?
I almost mentioned everyone, but I didn't mention everyone. Who did I not mention? I don't know. This is just some great interviews, some great strategies and some great tactics. Like Marcus Pierce was awesome as well on purpose. Yeah. Such a practical dude. Nothing up here, nothing airy-fairy about him. It's like, what do you want to happen? Write the script for your life. He's all about writing the script. Just write the script.
I tell you what's good, because we've known Marcus now for some time, and to see the turn, I mean, he's living his dream life at the moment. Now up in Byron Bay, he's just had weeks over in, he just took a whole bunch of people over to Greece, to an area where people live longest lives. Yeah. And hang out with them for a couple of weeks. Then he's travelling through the Greek islands with his family. So,
in Paris at the moment.
Yeah. And so he's just, there's somebody that I've watched do it. I would listen to people who I've seen do it with runs on the board. He's got runs on the board.
Yep.
What a cool guy. Love it.
Awesome.
Dude, thank you.
We're it. Unless you've got any questions, post them in here. But we are out of here.
Whew. So one more time, adiomedia.com/thrive. You can register there for your free spot to watch the Thrive Summit as well. Any questions, ask them down beneath through here. We'll get back to you. If this has been helpful, give us a couple of love hearts and more thumbs up. We're okay with all of those as they come in as well. So next week.
Like my nail polish?
Yeah, that's...
Fancy pants.
Yep. Looks like it needs to be tarted up a little bit, but it's a bit messy. So thanks, gang. We love and adore you all. See you next week. Over and out.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Marketing Your Practice podcast, where we help natural health practitioners and wellness experts build profitable, predictable, and enjoyable practices. For more information, please visit www.adiomedia.com.